James chapter 1. We're also going to be in 1 Kings chapter 3 and also Ephesians chapter 3. James chapter 1. As we're flying through the book of James, God bless you. We'll do one verse and one verse only today. If some of you are familiar with Calvary Chapels, some pastors would actually teach this in two weekends, this entire book. Clearly, I don't go that way. I like to take my time and really get as much as we can out of the Word of God. There's so much there. So much there. Not to say that they're not saved. Don't want you to get the wrong idea. All right, let's be quiet before somebody calls Chuck. James chapter 1, as we always do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to bless this time. Father, we thank You that You have set aside this time on Sunday mornings for us to gather together to certainly catch up on the things that You've been doing in our lives with each other and enjoy fellowship and enjoy praying for each other and investing in each other's personal lives. And God, I do pray for this church, our church, that there would not be not even one person that feels outside, that feels not a part of the family. And so, God, we pray, draw us ever close to each other and ever close to You. Teach us the Scriptures, that we would be thoroughly equipped, God, to tackle Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. For, Lord, we need Your strength, because many times we get overwhelmed with the cares of this world. But it's good to know that we can come each week, sit at Your feet, open Your Word, and find strength. So, Holy Spirit, fall afresh in this place. Have Your way. God, I pray against routine. I pray against tradition. I pray that we would move today in the Spirit. Bless Your Word. Bless Your people. And bless this time. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I've entitled this morning's message, He Supplies All My Needs. And I want to ask, personally for you, does God supply all of your needs? Have you found God to be faithful? Have you found God to meet each and every one of these things that you have need of in your life? Do you know that He is true? Do you know that He exists? Do you know that He is out there and He's watching your life, seeing the things that are happening, orchestrating events that happen in your life? And as we have been studying through the book of James, we've learned last week so powerfully that we're to consider it or count it all joy, verse 2, when you fall into various trials, to count it joy when trials hit, when difficulties come. And we learned last week that not because of the trial, not because of the difficulty, not because of the pain you might experience, but because of what that trial would produce in our lives. What does it produce? Patience. And I challenged all of us to pray for patience. Did you? Some of them, yeah. Others, no way. Never going to do that. Praying for patience just invites the enemy as a target for us. No, see, I've gotten a few emails and a few texts saying, Pastor Rob, thank you for letting me pray for more patience. I now have more construction work going around my house. It takes me hours to get home rather than minutes. Another one got stuck in traffic and listened to their little granddaughter tell them all the things that happened at camp. They thanked me from the bottom of their heart. No, these things, and I just text back, praise the Lord, what a blessing that was. But these are the things that we need as Christians. We need to be stretched. We need to be molded and shaped into the likeness of Christ. And trials do those things. Trials are the ones that make us the mighty men and mighty women of God. We need these things. See, Paul has a great amount of confidence in God's provision. Paul the Apostle. He said this to the church of Philippi. It's going to be overhead. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I love this verse. My God will supply all your need. Only the person that's needs have been met can confidently say, my God's so good, he'll meet mine and yours. Paul isn't saying, God's abandoned me, but he'll meet your need. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I believe in my God has the ability to meet every need that you have. Please circle the word need or mark down the word need. It's not a want. It's not something that you want. God's not going to meet all your wants. He may meet some of them, but he's not there to meet all your wants. But can you say this with as much confidence that God will meet the needs of someone else near you? Gosh, I hope so. I hope God has blessed you so much that you are just so overwhelmingly confident that God, you are so good to bless me that I believe you're going to bless the one next to me. I believe you're going to bless your people. And he does. See, we're going to see and look at three different revelations just from verse 5 in chapter 1 of the book of James. But just for context, I want to continue to read this entire section, verse 1 through 8, so that we have an idea of what James is thinking as he's saying these things. So read with me, verse 1, James chapter 1. We see James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And again, verse 5, again, this is what we're talking about today. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We're going to break down this verse into three things, and I think three revelations to help us know that he supplies all my needs. When you and I are going through God-ordained difficulties, those difficulties we talked about last week that produce that patience in us, what should we ask God for when we're in the midst of the trial, when we're in the midst of the difficulty, when our patience is being stretched, when difficulties are happening to the believer in God? What do we ask for? Wisdom. Wisdom. The word wisdom there, if you circle it right alongside it, insight. Insight. Yes, I just love the way James puts it. If any of you lacks wisdom, I mean, did anybody here want to confess that they lack wisdom? I do. I do. Every time Monday comes, when I start studying for that, Lord, give me your wisdom. Teach me, guide me, direct me. We need that insight. We need that wisdom to guide us and direct us. Three things, if you're taking notes. He supplies all my needs. Number one, if you want to write this down, you need to realize that I have a need for wisdom. Number one. You got to realize that you have a need for wisdom. He says it right there. If any of you lacks wisdom. In other words, you need to consider, you need to take inventory of your heart, the things that are going on. Do I have the wisdom from God? Not from the world, but from God. Do I lack wisdom in what's going on in my life? I don't know what's going on in your life. God knows what's going on in your life. You know what's going on in your life. Do you lack wisdom in it? Do you not understand? Do you lack insight? Why is God doing this to me? Why is God allowing this to happen in my life? So we need to come to that realization that we lack wisdom from time to time. Now, the good news is, as we walk with the Lord, we gain wisdom, right? Over time, we learn some things. God teaches us through those difficulties in life. He teaches us a characteristic of God's grace. Therefore, there's going to be times when you don't lack wisdom, but you can share wisdom with someone else. That's the beauty of it. If you lack it and you realize you lack it, what do? We ask God for it. God, give us wisdom. Wisdom, defined by Webster, is the quality of having experience, knowledge and good judgment. I'll say that again. Wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Knowledge, experience. We learn and we gain wisdom by doing things, by experiencing things. Some have said that knowledge is the ability to take things apart. Wisdom is the ability to put them back together. Right? I don't know about you, but I love demolition. I love taking things apart. I love construction where you're knocking walls out, cutting holes in walls, but it's putting it back together that I struggle with. You know, I watch the DIY Network, and I just love that one show that it's just real-life people wanting to redo their kitchen, and they get halfway through it, and they don't know what to do next. That's what's happened sometimes for me. You get it apart, and then you got to hire somebody to put it back together. Knowledge is the ability to take something apart. Wisdom is the ability to put it back together. What wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Now, we got to be careful with the knowledge that we have, because some knowledge is good and some knowledge is bad, and we need to realize where those are. See, it sure is easy for us to depend upon a God who knows everything. It should be easy for us to depend upon God who knows everything. God, does God hold your tomorrows in your hand? Do you believe that? Does he know all that's going to happen next week? Yes. Who better to talk to than him? So I ask, where do you, or what do you do to get more wisdom? Personally, what do you do to get more wisdom? Do you study harder? Do you try to learn more? Do you think you just need more experience? Do you go to the world for wisdom? No, no. James so very clearly says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Ask God. In chapter 3 of James, you don't have to turn, well, you could if you wanted. It's just a couple pages to the left. James 3 and verse 13. James specifically will talk about wisdom when we get there. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You see the difference? You see the difference in the two different types of wisdom? There's earthly wisdom, and there's lots of people that will give you earthly wisdom, but there's also heavenly wisdom that has these characteristics. And these are the things that we as Christians, as spirit-filled believers, must seek after. Godly wisdom, godly counsel. When you're going through a difficult time, no better thing to do than to pray to God. But the second greatest thing to do is find a spirit-filled Christian that depends upon God and talk to them as well. How many of us have those mentors or those peers in our lives that we can go to and ask spiritual questions and we know we'll get a biblical answer? This is the thing. We need that wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that came from above into their hearts now is being given to us. These are the things we need to realize. Go back to James chapter 1. We first realize, I have a need for wisdom. So you got to answer that question. Do you need wisdom today? Is there something going on in your life that you're going, I've been having a difficult time with it, and now I'm beginning to believe I need some wisdom. I need some insight from God. That's number one. Number two, we need to understand where I get wisdom. Understand where I get wisdom. The rest of that verse, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Let him ask God. If you lack wisdom, the one place that you go is God. Ask him to reveal his wisdom to you. Ask him to show you his heart for you through his word. Through his word. Now, this is not some hocus pocus, okay, Lord, I need wisdom. Now you just speak it to me. For many of us, we pray, God, show me your wisdom. And then what? We hear nothing. Pastor Rob said, pray and God would show me. I'm not hearing anything. What's wrong with me? Right? What's wrong with me? Why am I not hearing God? See, many times, God's wisdom is all right. We need is right here. And to say, to truly say, God, I need your wisdom. Show me your wisdom. Teach me. Guide me through your word. And there's many times either God will place a verse on your heart or those people that love to go, God, give me your wisdom. Here it is. Since times are not hidden from the Almighty. Okay, God's beginning to speak to me. God's word speaks to you. We know we're supposed to read the word, right? We know we're supposed to read the scriptures so that we can hide these things in our heart. Psalm 91 that God gave to us during a difficult time in our lives came in this way. God, show us your word. Give us wisdom. I need to be able to stand on something. And that was the verse that God gave to my wife during that difficult time. And we praise God for it. And it will continue to encourage us throughout our years. Guys, he will do this for you as well. But you have to ask. You have to ask. You have to ask God. Look what Psalm 119, 105, very, very popular verse overhead. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right? We've heard this verse. We probably see this one on a plaque on our walls. Your word is a lamp to my feet. What does that mean? Your word guides me everywhere I go. It's showing me. It's revealing the path that I go. To the left, to the right, stay straight, don't move, run. God ever say run to you? Run from that. And a light to my path. Your life is the path that God has for you. And God's word illuminates that path for you. Illuminates it. His word. And as much as this pastor could say, read your Bible every day, the sad truth is many won't. Many won't. Even though the word itself says, if you read me, I'll guide your life. Who has time for that? Who has time for that? How many times do you hit the snooze bar in the morning before work? I used to hit it for an hour. For an hour. It's like I would set it an hour early so I could hit snooze for an hour. It's like, this is ridiculous. Something about getting sleep in 9-minute increments, right? It's the best sleep ever. Instead of going, okay, the alarm goes off, get up. First thing we do, open our Bibles, pray. I got to tell you, and I'm blessed by this. The last several mornings, I would wake up various times throughout the night. For some reason, I've been doing that. But every time I wake up, I'm thinking of someone to pray for. I mean, it's really been different for me because I'm not usually like that. My time of praying for God is when there's no distractions. I'm sitting down on my couch, my Bible, I say, okay, what do I need to pray for today? I even have an app that has my prayers. And I look through to remind me. But God has been reminding me lately. We've been praying for this young girl named Haley who's been in a coma. And every time I wake up, God, please restart her mind. Let her have brain activity today. You know, the things that Pastor RJ is going through with his mother. Lord, please work in Sue's heart, physical heart. Do this work. Do a healing, God. And it's like, man, this has been so great for me. And like, guys, this is what we need to be doing as prayer warriors for God. Just not that you have to wake up praying, but to take the time to pray. What I find, God begins to answer prayer. And that makes me want to pray all the more. That's the beauty of it. And that's what James is saying. If you lack wisdom, which we all do, then just ask God. Ask him. Seek him. Keep your place in James. We'll come back. This time, go to 1 Kings all the way back into the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to pick up in verse 4. You may know or you may not, Solomon was one of the wisest men. In fact, he was the wisest man of all time. The wisest man of all time. And here in chapter 3 is recorded one of my favorite stories. I guess they're all favorite, so I guess I really should stop saying that. God bless you, by the way. But the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, this is where we find this in this particular chapter. 1 Kings chapter 3, read with me in verse 4. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. Was he committed to God or what? At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Please highlight that. And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. Speaking of himself. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people with you, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, and that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall be like you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Verse 14, So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Give me your attention right there. Love this story. What is it? I mean, this is a dream, by the way. And God answers this prayer in this dream. I mean, should we not hide God's word in our hearts so that our dreams are being used by God? That's what I love about this. God says to Solomon, ask. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't you love that? I mean, this isn't the crystal ball thing. This isn't the genie in a lamp thing. This is God saying, just ask. What is it you want? What is it you want? See, God gave Solomon wisdom like no other because he asked for it with the right heart. With the right heart. It wasn't make me rich, make me powerful, make me all knowing. It's like, make me wise so I can minister to your people. Make me wise so I can minister to you, my friends. God said to Solomon, ask, what shall I give you? And through Jesus Christ, listen to this, very important. Through Jesus Christ, God continues to say to his church, ask. Today, God is asking all of us, just ask me. I have got resources in heaven. I have blessings I can pour onto you, but I need you to ask me. I need you to ask. I need you to seek. And I know there's people in this room that have been asking and asking and asking and have been diligent in their prayers to seek after the Lord. But jump down to verse 28 of the same chapter. You need to read this for homework in between verses 15 through 27. Great story there. But in verse 28, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king, who is Solomon, had rendered. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. It wasn't just wisdom, my friends. It was the wisdom of God, able to discern what to do, what was right. Solomon wakes up from this dream, says, wow, that was a dream. But then realizes God answered that prayer in his dream, and gave him amazing wisdom. As I said, through Jesus Christ, God is asking all of us, ask me, ask me, ask me. I want to have a relationship with you, so ask. Say goodbye to 1 Kings. Now we go to Matthew chapter 7. Oh, no, we don't go there. Sorry. Matthew chapter 7 is going to be overhead. What does Jesus say in the red letters? Very simply, he says what? Ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. The power in that verse. Keep this up there, please. The power in this verse. That word ask. If you would just look at that word and says ask. That word basically is saying ask and keep on asking. And keep on asking. Where in this verse does Jesus tell us how long to ask? Doesn't, does it? Nowhere. That's because he doesn't want us to stop. And for many of us, we ask a couple times. If we don't get it, we just figure, well, he's not answering. No, guys, listen. You keep on asking because Jesus knows the more you ask, the more you seek, the more you knock, the more you enter in, the more you're going to learn God's heart and discern God's heart until you get to the point where you ask and it will be given to you. This isn't ask whatever you want and you'll get all your wishes to come true. Because I know what happens. God, please. I want a girlfriend so bad. God, I really want a husband. So, and this, Lord, send me a husband. Or, Lord, I need more money to meet my needs. Lord, please, make me good in business. Make me be profitable in business, because I need more money, God. These are the prayers that we ask. God, give me a new boss that'll let me do what I want to do. This guy's driving me crazy. This girl's driving me crazy. Give me a new boss. Better not be you, Aaron. So these are the prayers. James says this, and we'll see this in chapter 4. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You see, God is saying ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you if you ask with the right heart. What if we said, God, give me a girlfriend that'll grow my relationship in God. Send me a husband that'll help me be that one flesh that you've called me to be, that I can love on and I can encourage and I can submit to and we can walk and glorify you. You think God would answer something like that? Or God, please, give me a boss. Give me a job where I can honor you and I can be a minister of the gospel and I can, did you see the heart behind it? That's what this is saying. Ask and it will be given to you. This isn't name it and claim it stuff. It can't be. It's ridiculous. No, ask. Keep on asking. You'll get what you need. That's what this verse is saying. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who asks with the right heart, right? Just like Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom to minister to his people. Can you imagine Solomon? So many people can't even count them. Man, I can't imagine one person have to minister to that many people. He would need the wisdom from God. You just got to keep on asking. And some of us grow weary in our asking. Some of us feel... I know people that have prayed years and years and years for the salvation of their spouse. For years. I'll never forget this story. It was way back early in my walk. One of our friends had gotten saved, and at the church we went, they took him into the back to give him Bible studies and encourage him in their faith. And we were standing out with some of the other family members, and this woman was just crying, her tears, long tears. I was like, what's the matter? She goes, my husband just got saved. And we're thinking, wouldn't you be happy about that? She goes, I've been praying for him for 3 years to get saved. For 3 years, and here it is. It's the fruit of that labor. We never can grow weary when it comes to prayers. As we go back to James, he also says it here. He says, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Liberally, that means generously. Generously. God does not hold back. He is a giving God who has the resources that none of us have. He has resources at his disposal that we need. And we need to ask him for those things. We're not going to turn there because we're running out of time, but write down Ephesians chapter 3. We were going to turn there. But this is the verse that I wanted you to focus on in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. But this one verse, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the God we serve. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know why I love this verse? Because our prayers ask for a limited amount. You know? It's like, God, give us a penny, and God's ready to give us $10,000. We limit our prayers. Pray prayers specific, be careful, pray specific prayers, but pray big prayers because it's a big God. Why? Because he loves you. Not because you're faithful, not because you're sinless, not because you've done anything, but because of what Jesus has done. Pray big prayers. Pray scary prayers if you have to. Say, God, stretch me. Show me. Because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. And I've always said, I can think of some pretty cool things. And God can go beyond that. But it happens like that, right? I know I've told you this story. It's Pastor Chuck years ago. This woman, I think I just told this recently. This family brings their grandmother up in a wheelchair. And Pastor Chuck prays for her to be healed. And she gets up and walks out of that wheelchair. And the family was like, wow, we were just going to ask you to pray for her cold. And it was like, what? Chuck's like, well, God told me to pray that she'd get up and walk. Talk about exceedingly abundantly, right? Not only was she healed of her sickness, but she was able to walk. This is the kind of God we serve, guys. And I hope and pray that when you pray, God answers your prayer, but then he goes above and beyond just to show you how much he loves you. For too many of us, we think, I'm not worthy for God to answer my prayers. Hogwash. Again, I'm using that word again. Hogwash. No. You're worthy. Jesus Christ died on a cross for you for that purpose. So I must realize my need for wisdom. I must understand where I get wisdom. And finally, and thirdly, I must know that I will receive wisdom. I must know that I will receive wisdom. Look at the last part of that verse, verse 5. And it will be given to him. Just like that verse in Matthew that Jesus said, ask, it will be given. James is saying the same thing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It's the same heart and the same vein that Christ is talking about. You're going through something that's stretching your patience, and you don't understand. You need some insight. You need some direction, and you start praying, God, help me. God, show me. Give me. You've heard it before. Don't focus on the thing that's big in front of you. Focus on the bigness of God that can overcome your problem, that can overcome your situation. So praying to God, Lord, you know what I'm going through. You know the experiences. Allow me to go through this with your strength, and it will be given to you. Know that it will be given to you. There is a certainty that is given from Jesus. He is, or from James, he is confident that God will give you wisdom. Do you see any doubting there at all? That's what he talks about later. But here, he is confident to tell these people, you're going through a trial, just ask God, he will get you through. That's a beautiful confidence. The only reason you do not have the wisdom of God is because you don't believe you deserve his wisdom. Honestly, that's the only reason you're not going to receive it, if you don't think you deserve it. Oh, good news for you. You don't deserve it. But because of Jesus Christ, it is available to you. God's wisdom that is from above, that is pure, peaceable, holy. I don't know about you, but this is the kind of wisdom we need today. Don't you agree? This is the kind of wisdom we need today. Ask. And it will be given to you. I would encourage all of us to take time this week and sit down and look at the things that's going on. There's something going on in every single one of our lives that we could use some more wisdom. Wouldn't you agree? And to take the time to say, God, I'm going to ask this week. I'm not going to fear anymore. I'm not going to be anxious. I've been stressing over my bills. I've been stressing over my job. I've been stressing over where I need to live, where I need to go to school. I've been stressing. But this week, I'm just going to sit and say, God, you know I'm anxious. You know I'm nervous. You know I don't understand what tomorrow is, but I believe you do. And I'm going to ask God, show me your wisdom in this. Give me some insight. Give me something. And I would imagine God would speak to your heart, specifically to your need. I would imagine he would even give you a scripture that would help you walk through that season. Maybe you even ask God for that. In our time of communion today, I would think that you need God to give you something. Maybe as you hold the elements in your hand, as you remember what Jesus has done, you're going, I need to ask Jesus for something. Maybe it's during this time of communion. You're going to ask God, Lord, give me that wisdom. Help me to know. Help me to discern. Because I believe there's a bunch of Christians walking around in fear, anxious, uncertain, when we don't need to be. We're walking around in the dark when God will light the path before us if we would simply ask him. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, as I pray, at the close of this service, I would like to ask that you would allow your light to shine on your people, on the situations and circumstances that they're experiencing. Because I know there's some in this room that are going through physical things, things that are overwhelming them in their bodies, or they know someone who's struggling. And perhaps they've been praying, but Lord, they need to see your hand at work. God, we ask, move in a mighty way. There's no doubt there's people in this room that are seeking after things for their life. And they need to know, they need to have the wisdom from God to know, is this something that I need or is it something that I want? And is it something that will help me or hurt me? God, give them wisdom. Help us to know when we need wisdom. Help us to know where we go to get wisdom. And help us to know that when we ask, that we will receive wisdom. That's an assurance. It's a surety. Not wisdom from this world. God forbid that we would go seeking after worldly counsel. But help us, God, to seek after godly, biblical counsel. For then we know we will be given life. We're so thankful, God, that you do meet all of our needs. Help us as the body of Christ to be there for each other and to remind those that maybe are feeling overwhelmed that God is still on the throne. So help us to minister to each other. God, as we enter into this time of communion, I pray that you would place it upon the hearts of your people. What to seek after, what to ask for. As they hold the elements in their hands, being reminded of what you did upon the cross, shedding of your blood, taking those stripes that we might be healed. I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that prayers would be lifted up and that there would be a confidence in each of our hearts that you are hearing each and every one. Bless us during this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.